As I mentioned, I'd like to do a little bit of review for Lesson 10. We had a lot of material and went through it fairly quickly, so I'd like to do that. And what I would also like to do is incorporate some of the geography of the map that we have to talk about some of the events. If you remember, going back some, David was over here in Gath. He asked for a city for him and his men, and was given Ziklag. From there, he inquired of the Lord, further direction, and went to Hebron. And we'll just look at some of the cities. Bethshean is where the men of Jabesh-Gilead took the bodies of Saul and some of his sons down from the wall and took them back over for burial. Manahem is where Abner took Ishbosheth, set him up over Israel. Later on, remember Ishbosheth accused Abner of taking a concubine. Abner was offended by that and said, I'll just go over and take the territory to David. So he made an agreement with David. The condition was that he would bring Michal, Saul's daughter, who had been given to David as a wife earlier. It was a sad scene because as he was bringing Michal, her husband was following behind her, weeping. Joab had been out on a military mission. When he came back and learned about Abner coming over and meeting with David, he said, Abner's just coming to spy on you. He's going to find out about you coming in, you're going out. His really true motive was revenge on Abner for killing Asahel, his brother, following the contest, if you will, where 12 men from each side got together and were going to try to solve the rightful kingship. That didn't work out well at all. Well, Joab had sent back for Abner, called him back to the Hebron, purported to meet with him privately, and as he met with him, he killed him in cold blood. When Ishbosheth, who was basically somewhat of a puppet of Abner, learned about this, he was already a weak leader, and when he learned about this, he lost all courage. Then two sons of Rimmon, Rechab and Baana, came into the house where Ishbosheth was, heat of the day while he was taking his midday rest. They came as if to get wheat, struck and killed Ishbosheth while he was lying on his bed. Took his head then and brought it to David at Hebron and said, behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. Thus the Lord has given my Lord the king vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants. Well, David had a pretty much a pat answer for those who would assassinate, especially of the household of Saul, but Ishbosheth was in a particularly vulnerable position there in his head, in his bed. So he answered Rechab and Baana and said, someone told me before that Saul was dead and thought he was bringing good news. Well, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, and that was the reward he gave him for, I gave it for his news. So how much more when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth? Then David commanded the young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet, hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. So that takes us through chapter 4 of 2 Samuel. Any comments, questions about the first four chapters? Yes, Brad? Yeah, that's the way I would see it, but that's an excellent point. Any other comments? Matt? Other comments? All right, we'll look then at lesson 11, entitled David Becomes King Over All Israel. We had two or three questions remaining on lesson 10. I think we answered them. What was Ishbosheth's reaction to Abner's death? Well, he lost all courage, and then, of course, he was assassinated. How long did Ishbosheth rule? I don't think we talked specifically about that. Two years. And we just finished talking about the action David took against Baana. He didn't take kindly to those who would assassinate others. All right, getting into lesson 11 then. I took the questions that had been provided in the set and actually added a few to make sure we get most of the highlights of the lesson. Why did the men of Israel want to make David king? Briefly describe that. The company that came to David at Hebron. What was their reasoning to make him king? And David had, you know, all through this period he'd been patient. He had proven himself time and time again in front of the people and basically developed himself as a king. Remember, he'd been at Hebron for 7 years. This was now taking place. Well, the second part was, what about the group that came to him in Hebron? What was their makeup? I think we could conclude that it was a unanimous vote, so to speak, or decision. Did you, by chance, Chris, total up those thousands? Did anybody come up with a calculation on what the number was, roughly? Yeah, almost 100 times what David had at the beginning with those 400 people. Not quite, but certainly shows, which is a lot more, I don't want to say flattering, but a lot more complimentary than debtors and he had in the first 400. Just anything else? Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Anything else? Easy question. How old was David when he became king? He was 30. And we got a lot of different ages in the group here. Just think about someone you know who's about 30. And how long did he reign? 7.5 at Hebron over Judah, and then 33 over all Israel. And, all right. Got kind of testy there with the Jebusites who were in Jerusalem, native to that land. I think they were left over from descendants of the Canaanites who the children of Israel had not driven out completely before. But what was their insult to David's military ability? Yeah. The blind and lame shall turn you away. And they thought, you know, they thought they had a city that was impenetrable, really. So the next question that really answers the idea of how David responded to that insult. How did Joab earn the position of captain? David kind of used that terminology back on them. You know, first one to kill one of these is going to be the captain. So Joab, being the military person he was the winner. All right, there through the water tunnel. Okay. David needed cedar trees, carpenters, stonemasons to build a house. Who was the supplier of that material? So following close on the heels of that, there are statements in 2 Samuel 5 and also 1 Chronicles 14 indicate God's role in David's growing power. What are those statements? Exactly. For the sake of his people. All right, over to Psalm 30 then for a moment. How does David describe his change in circumstances? 180 degree turnaround almost. Heard somebody? Okay. And yeah, I came up with 19 at first, and then one was only had one letter difference, but I thought might have been an overlap. You know, there are different counts on that, more than our custom is today. All right. thinking back in chapter 5, verse 2, when the people said previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people, Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel. Don't you know if Saul had still been alive, he would have been jealous again over what the people said that about David. He was actually the one who led Israel out and in. Yeah. He knew it when he was chasing him. I want to go back over to 1 Chronicles 12 for just a moment. And think about these numbers in contrast with what David had at the cave of Adullam, the roughly 400 people. Now, beginning in verse 23 of 1 Chronicles 12. Now, these are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war who came to David Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. And as Stan pointed out a minute ago, look at the description of their military ability too. They weren't people trying to escape debtor's prison and other distressed people like David first had. Verse 24, the sons of Judah who bore shield and spear were 6,800 equipped for war. Of the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor for war, 7,100. Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. Now Jehoiada was the leader of the house of Aaron, and with him were 3,700. Also Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. So you had not only the base level soldier, but you had leaders. And of the sons of Benjamin, Saul's kinsmen, 3,000, for until now the greatest part of them had kept their allegiance to the house of Saul. And of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous men in their father's households. And of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, who were designated by name to come and make David king. And of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out in the army, who could draw up in battle formation with all kinds of weapons of war and help David with an undivided heart. So they not only had the ability, they had the attitude, the desire to help David. They had a focus. And of Naphtali, there were 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shield and spear. And out of the Danites who could draw up in the battle formation, there were 28,600. And of Asher, there were 40,000 who went out in the army to draw up in battle formation. And from the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, there were 120,000 with all kinds of weapons of war for the battle. All these, being men of war who could draw up in battle formation, came to Hebron with a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. These were happy celebratory times. Beginning verse 39, they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their kinsmen had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them, even as far as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and on oxen, great quantities of flour cakes, big cakes, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep. There was joy indeed in Israel. Certainly the Lord was with David. And we've noticed from time to time, David would inquire of the Lord, what should I do? What's your will? Should I undertake this battle? Should I not? And at times God would even give him specific battle instructions like circle around this group.
Imagine the food, great picture of Israel. Yeah.
Joy indeed. Chris. I'm also reminded of the warning that Samuel gave the people initially when they asked for a king about, you'll have your king will have your captains and your people who run from the chariots and so forth. We want to keep that in mind as we go along. Okay, excellent comments. Anything else? Yeah, it's very interesting as we continue some of the pluses and minuses about David. I had, we'd started a review of some of the things that we studied. We've been in this now roughly, I guess, 6 weeks. And I haven't done a lot of review, but I've got a few questions that we can maybe refresh our memory on. Think back, why did Saul try to communicate with God, and what method did he use to communicate with Samuel? Remember our story there? I think it proved that she didn't have the power. It was God teaching Saul a lesson. Samuel said, you know, why are you troubling me? You know God's left you. Speaking of not having much of an army, I meant to bring this up earlier, but apparently the Jebusites didn't have much of an army. They probably thought they didn't need one in that fortified city that they had, but the thing that they didn't consider, of course, is that God was on David's side. So, yeah, that's interesting. Of course, you know, she was very cautious about proceeding. You know, she, this could cost me my life. Well, the timing was certainly close to Samuel's death. You know, right after that, Saul decided to do this. Other comments? All right. Contrasted with who Saul consulted, whom did David consult before engaging in battle? The Lord. Obviously tell the different results. Yeah. David didn't abandon the Lord as Saul did. What characteristics of David displayed upon his arrival back at Ziklag made him a good leader? Like the situation you're referring to, went to the Lord. That's the main. I was reminded of this a little while ago when we were talking about the celebration there of all the people. What were the Amalekites doing when David and his men found them? They were having their own big party. Exactly. Saul's last battle. What happened there, and how was he further disgraced? And then the further disgrace was
body.
His body. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your comments.